Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
Hey everybody, welcome back. I am Matt Wolf. I am the Editor-in-Chief of Car Wash Magazine and the Chief Marketing Officer for the International Car Wash Association. Coming up next, we've got a really fantastic conversation between two women in this industry who really do stand among the very best in this space. And so, really fun interview because one of these folks is an author, just released a new book. It's called Risky Women. And so we're excited about that. I've read it. My wife's read it. It's a great read. It's a fast read and full of great content for you. I do need to give a little bit of a disclaimer here. So Megan Ragsdale and Doriel Bernkrant are our two panelists. These are going to be their opinions. Okay, so it's not representative of their organization. This is all a conversation about them as great women leaders. So with that, I give the stage to Doriel and Megan.
Thank you so much, Matt. Hi, everyone. I'm Doriel Bernkrant of Petrocal Associates, and it's my privilege to be interviewing Megan Ragsdale, of the author of Risky Women. And I'm going to jump right into it. Megan, will you share with us briefly your path into car washing?
Yes, I was working really as a hired gun at that time, moving in to help retailers who were looking to scale, whether it was online bringing a product to market or increasing their brick and mortar footprint. And I just rolled off a great engagement, and a former colleague introduced me to the founder of our company, Lauren Zatisha. And when he shared his vision for growth for Soapy Joe's, I was all in. It was the right kind of challenge that I love.
Nice, that's fantastic. Congratulations on the release of the book earlier this year. Will you share with us why a book about risk and why now?
Yes, I love that you just asked that question because I was thinking about writing this book in 2021. We were about 18 months into the full impact of the pandemic. So the conversation around risk was really potent, not just from a health perspective and financial perspective, but a lot at that time was being written about the impact of the pandemic on women in the workplace. And the data coming out from Davos was looking at 150-year setback for parity, which felt really daunting. And it got me really thinking about risk and how your risk tolerance and your attitude toward risk is somewhat genetic, but it's also really largely based on how you're socialized and how you're raised. And, you know, for women in particular, it's a really different situation. You know, from the time we're little, we are taught to be excellent risk mitigators because we're the most at risk. So we are experts at turning risk into a great defensive strategy. And if we want to turn that into an effective offensive strategy, that's really where we leapfrog that 150 years. So if I set that in the context of today in our industry, if anybody was part of the M&A conversations today, you heard a lot about risk there too. Investors want to take risk off the table. Founders want to take chips off the table. Risk is still kind of the word du jour. And I think the framework that we need to change that will be advantageous for women is if we limit our risk to looking at the last couple lines of a P&L, then we're still looking at the lagging indicators, not the leading indicators of the human factor, where women leaders would be excellent at integration and that scale and growth. And the data on women leaders is really compelling in terms of return on invested capital and team integration and culture, but also in profitability. So I think if we were able to flip our focus there, that would be great. And at Soapy Joe's, and I want to give a shout out to Soapy Joe's here, we did do that. We really made a focus on building a really diverse leadership team. And our executive leadership team is 50-50 male-female. And our entire organization is incredibly diverse. You know, 85% of our population identifies as a minority group. So we have seen that high into the right performance curve that we're looking for. And I know that you are really focused on building a women's leadership group here in this car wash industry. So I'm wondering for you how that's playing out.
Yeah, I mean, I've been very privileged to be close with some of the employees of the International Car Wash Association. We have a women's leadership group. I see a lot of people in the audience. Who in this audience has ever been to a women's leadership group event? Yes, yes. So that organization has been around for, you know, 6 or 7 years now before the pandemic. It's been really important that, you know, representation has been something we've been talking about for years. And when women see other women leaders, they feel more welcomed into the space. So it's really important. And I know that that's been really important to you as well. And you've talked about how organizations that are bringing women in who are actually great with risk aversion. Help me out here. We talked about the 8% of the.
Yeah.
Help me out.
Yeah, no problem at all. Now, women are really great at calculated risk, but it's also if women are in decision-making authority positions, right? So it's not just enough to have a more diverse organization, but it's about putting people in positions of real decision-making authority. And the data are really compelling here. When women are in their third round of investment, they get more investment from folks than they do in a Series A and B. The 8% of the women that are running S&P 500 companies, their companies are more well-run, more profitable, more insulated against competitor threat. So there is really, really compelling data about, you know, why we can focus on that as a way to mitigate risk in our industry.
Right. So let's go to the book. You provide a framework, and I think that that's what sets you so apart when you talk about, you know, what to actually do as a woman when you're trying to figure out what are your next steps in the corporate ladder, what do you want to do, where do you want to be? And the framework is called Find Her. So I know we don't have time to go through all of it, but will you talk to me about what the couple of elements that you think are really important to take home?
Absolutely. Thank you for asking. So just to give you a little bit of orientation to the framework, and there's, of course, a more depth explanation in the book itself, but it's fear, intuition, need, drive, habit, empowerment, and risk reward. And what really kind of informed the thinking around this book is I was working with a lot of folks at that time that were really successful. So founders and C-suite executives. I'm an executive coach by trade as well. And what I was seeing is my own pattern recognition in that group of folks who had really met all of the markers of success by any measure that we would think about. Financial, brand building, selling your company, really having open sky to play with in your second act. But they were gripped by a feeling of emptiness. They had summited the mountain and they couldn't actually enjoy all that they had achieved and accumulated. And I realized it's because they were doing the entire experience completely disembodied and entirely driven by fear. So when you become successful, just driven purely by what you're afraid of, which are usually stories from your upbringing or other experiences you've had in life or just worries that you have, but you're not actually tuned in to the in part of the framework, which is the intuition and the need part, which are the components of the framework that really get you in alignment with those things that bring you a sense of growth and potential and taking risks out of moving towards something like your potential instead of trying to keep risk or your fear at bay. So I think if you don't focus on that part of what's within, then when you get to your summit, you're going to be really focused on what you're going without. And so that framework, working with quite a lot of male founders and CEOs actually, really informed the early stages of the framework. And I think that is the counsel that I would give to anybody that's thinking about buying, selling, moving up. You know, sometimes you adopt the stories that are somebody else's and not really going after what would bring you true fulfillment. Definitely. I wonder if you've, you know, been like most of us and have found yourself on that same cycle.
I have. You know, we had talked about in my prior life, I worked for Live Nation Entertainment and Ticketmaster for 8 years, doing super cool stuff with the NFL and live concerts. And I was climbing up that corporate ladder, had been promised that job promotion, had turnover by a boss, you know, four bosses in 6 months, each one, you know, moving. We had talked about moving that goal marker, right? And for women, whether it was C-level or director level, constantly getting that goal marker moved. And sometimes you just move into an auto place where you're like, I just need that promotion. I just need to get there. And unfortunately, a mentor of mine took the position after advising me to turn it down due to a pay drop. And it was in that moment where, and I really identify with this in your book, when you talk about need, we so often in our voices have the, I should be, I should do this, but what about I need? And when you need, you know, what do you really want? And it was in that moment where I was like, I'm walking away from the corporate world. I was thinking about where to go. My husband, Reuven, was in this very interesting car wash industry. And since I had been growing teams for 8 years for Ticketmaster, I decided to come and help him grow his team. And 9 years later, I'm here because I knew I wanted to work for myself. I answered that question. What do I need? I need to not report to somebody else. I need to be in charge of my life. And that's how I got there.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's, yeah.
Oh,
I think
thanks,
that's
guys.
Applause, right?
Yeah, you got to like step out of that auto and make sure, like, do I really want that? Do I want that position? And maybe you do, but are the people around, and this is such a fantastic point in your book, but you can tell yourself, oh, well, that boss won't let me get there. This situation won't let me get there. Well, either you can change the situation or you can change yourself, step out and put yourself somewhere else. And I thought that was really motivating.
Absolutely. Thank you for saying that. I mean, I think there's that phrase that I think is common for a reason where you're shitting all over yourself, right? And I really think that that's something to take to heart, because I think that we can also sometimes not prime ourselves for risk taking as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a couple of things that I see a lot, which is, you know, when we're coaching women especially, we tend to focus a little bit more on the things. Maybe I'm just one networking meeting away from meeting the right person in this position. Or maybe if I get yet another certification or take another class, then that's going to get me where I need to go in terms of my career. And I think that is just symptomatic of the more root that we need to focus on, which is what are those things that actually bring me to more purpose? You know, we can get really overly consumed with surface level wants that are really fleeting in terms of long-term fulfillment. Even folks in our industry, you know, founders who are in the process of selling or thinking about selling, you know, there's a lot of identity wrapped up in what we do for a living. So it's got to be something that we really get some sort of lifelong fulfillment out of. So I think doing that internal inquiry to really make sure that we're in the right spot for ourselves and that we're being valued and not being actively undervalued is something that we've really got to spend some time on. And I think part of that is organizations creating the opportunity and betting on women leaders. And then I think part of that is on us to really be in the driver's seat of our career and where we want to go in the future. And it sounds like that's exactly what you did. And I wish your story was not common, but unfortunately it is.
I mean, you experienced something very similar in your corporate climb, or, you know, 20 years ago in your career.
Absolutely.
As well. You know, I think sitting here on stage this year, this being one of the, you know, segues into talking about women in our industry, I think it's important that we talk about what we can do here in this industry to help move that needle. We've spent a lot of time over the last few years in our panels talking about representation. Matt did an incredible job last year saying, well, what can the men do? And you and I were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, we don't want to just be sitting in an echo chamber saying we're here to support women, we welcome women into the industry. But what are the next steps that we can do? What would you suggest for that?
Yeah, I think if you're an organization with the ability to really create jobs and hire leadership teams, I really encourage you to look at the data on having more diverse teams and women leaders. It will help your company inevitably, like it did ours, you know, become more profitable, more competitive. You're going to have a diversity of perspectives. And that's one of the things that we really enjoy on our team. We joke about it all the time. We are not conflict averse on our team. We come from really different backgrounds. We have some folks that came from the Marine Corps. We've got folks that came from really interesting tech companies. And we've kind of thrown everybody all in a pot, but with the right kind of cultural beachhead and the right kind of values as an organization, but also a razor-sharp focus on the business. So I think as an organization, I think you don't want to be on the wrong side of this, because a lot of what's plaguing our industry right now is people are planting a lot of flags, but can they really integrate two teams together? Can they really actually maximize an enterprise team across different locations? Those are really complex, nuanced leadership situations. And, you know, not just women leaders, but women leaders are particularly good in these types of situations. So I think organizationally we can do that. As individuals, I think, again, it's taking a really good, hard look at what you're doing. Is it bringing you that level of purpose and meaning? are you being valued? And if not, I'm a huge proponent of leaving and going somewhere else or starting your own business. I think that's the clearest path, like you saw, to parity sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that is all the time we have for today. It's such a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, Doriel.
Call you my friend and mentor. And thank you, everyone, for being here today.
Thank you. Thanks, Matt.
In a moment, we are going to do a thing. Okay, so I just want to say a sincere thank you because I think that these kinds of conversations are so, so important, and they don't happen enough in this industry. And so this is a passion point for me. I believe in this very strongly. I think we need to be really great advocates for the women in this industry, and that's on us, and we got to do a good job. So I hope that you all took a little bit away from that. The men in the room, be good advocates, right? Women in the room, don't be afraid to take risk. Don't be afraid to take risk. All right, so that's my soapbox. Thank you again for sharing your time and your talent. I so appreciate you sharing the story.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.